Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny today. Today's topic is always a controversial one. And for me, I don't know, I feel a type of way about it. And that's just because I haven't experienced it, I guess, in the same mindset as somebody like yourself who sold on eBay full time. And it's summer slowdown. So we are in the middle of July. And every year, YouTube, social media reselling gets flooded with the idea that you can't make sales during the summer because people are not shopping. And I guess my only argument to that, Johnny, is I've never sold full-time on eBay. So, like, I understand there's difference between platforms. But July, I'm on track to possibly have my best month ever since I started reselling. So the summer slowdown, like, when I hear it, it's usually, well, it's always from people that don't sell on Amazon. It's other platforms. Yeah. I'm just like, so much slowdown, like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, I'm on track to do my best month ever, and everybody else is sitting here saying summer slowdown is happening and we can't make money. I don't know, take me away and I'll just kind of go down the rabbit hole.
I mean, yeah, people are out and about and not trapped inside with mobile devices in general as much, sure. And I also think it's very category dependent. And also seasonality dependent. If you're selling swim trunks, trying to sell those in December, that's a lot tougher gig than, oh, they're selling like gangbusters in July, which is the month we're in now. Or trying to sell Halloween and Christmas lights. I mean, they'll sell a little bit. And I think to get out of that as a seller a little on these other platforms that are not Amazon, you have to give a deal. Go down a little lower, or you have a secondary category that performs much better in the slower rest of your month kind of category. So if your slow time is winter, why don't you sell something that sells really good in winter time while you're waiting for winter to roll over to sell what you primarily want to sell in general? We don't make the rules, but we need to play the game the way the game's made. So you, and that also, that extends outside the platform. You got to know your customer base and what they do and their buying trends, honestly. Books, as far as books go, it's pretty steady until Q4, and then it picks up. You're selling more in Q4. So I don't think in the book category there's really much of a slowdown. I mean, it's there, I guess, a little bit, but it's not as overbearing, like I would say, like a clothing seller would be, because I think they're very seasonal based, and they also have this weird, it's not weird, it's just part of their game. They have to be aware of styles and trends. So if your style and trend falls out because it's no longer fashionable this year, well, you're going to have a terrible time because you didn't compensate and didn't know what was going on around you.
Let me clarify. I do agree that retail months in the summer are slower than any other time of the year. But I don't agree that just because that's the case that your business has to go down. And there's plenty of things you can do, right? I think about what you can possibly do with your business. And I just think about, like, you know, Dev's pet toy business, right? Are you running ads? Are you doing different things behind the scenes to drive traffic? It does maybe take a little bit kind of next level thinking not to have the slowdown. There's people that don't have slowdowns in summer. I see it on social media that sell on eBay, right? Yeah. Like, I see it every single day on Instagram. People are listing 30, selling 30, you know, or somewhere close to that. So the idea that every summer, it's like, I mean, maybe we should just have every season be a slowdown, because the way we kind of look at it is, you know, fall might be a slowdown for somebody that sells sandals, or yeah, you know, winter could, maybe I can get famous on YouTube if I just kind of have a video every season talking about the fall slowdown, the winter slowdown, the spring slowdown. I think you could get away with doing that, because if somebody's looking for the excuse why they're not getting the results they want, then they're going to find it somewhere.
Right, but look like at a electronics seller. I think their sales, I could be wrong because I'm not one. I think their sales could be steady all year round. If you're an iPhone seller, I think you're gonna have steady sales all year round. Now, if you fail to get the latest model for whatever reason, then maybe you'll see a slower tick once that newer model's available and out, and everybody wants that all of a sudden. But again, that goes to knowing your market and knowing your customers and knowing the changes in your market. I think books is a lot more stable because it's, I mean, there's trends in books too. Like when we have an author die, we see boons in books, CDs, and DVDs all of a sudden for no rhyme or reason other than they're dead now. Or it gets mentioned on like Oprah's book club. This is the best, or the top 100 reading list on Goodreads, or the New York Times comes out with an article. We'll see an influx of sales because of things we couldn't have ever accounted for coming out. But that doesn't slow us down. That upticks us, right? Do we really see a slowdown on DVDs, CDs, and books and video games? Not so much. And then speaking of video games, I think they're the same way. I think they're going to see steady sales all year round and see a significant sale come Christmas time because every little Timmy wants that perfect game under his tree. Or Timmy's dad, mom buys him his most collectible cartridge game that he's been wanting for the last year, and it's not all he could talk about, right? So I think video games is a lot more inflated during that quote unquote Q4 month than the rest of us, honestly.
So we got two things we got to talk about. One, is it the platform? Or two, is it the stuff you're selling? I just looked this up. Well, eBay's got 135 users worldwide. Amazon's got 310 million users worldwide. So is it a mixture of both? Or is it just because, like, if I took all my current inventory, right, all 4,000-ish items I have on Amazon and put them on eBay, would I see the same results, or is it, does it have something to do with the platform you sell on, because Amazon has almost three times the reach that eBay does?
I think it, I'm not going to say the platform itself, but I'm going to say Google. What's on the top of the Google search page? Because I think people are going to go down one of three rabbit holes. They're going to Google it first, and then they're going to click on the top five ads, the five things that are there. Two, people are accustomed to shopping on Amazon. As you said, the numbers are much bigger on Amazon. That's not to say there aren't dedicated eBay shoppers who have nixed Amazon for their own various reasons. But the buyer pool is just bigger. And I've done a lot of Google searching in books since I've hit Amazon. It's easier for me to find the listings on some stuff. And honestly, Amazon's on the top search results. So I think Google has the biggest play factor in your question there. What's in the top of Google search results?
And I think it kind of goes back to what you're saying. Some of these categories that are collectible, or people need the items, right? Car parts, things like that, desirable items. Those people never seem to be the ones that are like summer slowdown, right? Like Jack's never crying about summer slowdown, but it kind of gets me back to the everything seller. And that's usually where you see the video or the media seller on eBay only. You see the video that summer's here, I got no business for the next 3 months. And I just struggle with it, because as an Amazon seller, selling the same type of stuff that somebody sells on eBay and has way more listings than me, sees that they're not making as much in the summer, nowhere near what I'm making on Amazon with a whole lot less listings. I just can't understand it. And I guess it's just because I've never been just an eBay-only seller and had thousands, tens of thousands of listings. So I guess it's a benefit that I just sell on Amazon and not eBay. But then I just circle back to this idea of, why doesn't everybody just sell on Amazon? Right? I don't know, man.
There's a partial answer to that. What's readily available in your area? And some people who live in different areas, not everything's readily available. However, I do believe books, especially books, is readily available no matter where you are. CDs and DVDs, I can get why it's a little questionable, but even then you have estate sales, right? You're gonna find that stuff. So I think in media, there's really no excuse why you shouldn't be doing that on Amazon. If you want nothing to do with that category, then I think it's going to be you may be region locked out of certain things that you couldn't ship into Amazon. Like, I don't know if you could do furniture on Amazon, but you have an abundance of furniture supply in your area. but you can't ship that into Amazon. So your alternative is to do eBay because that's what's local to you to obtain. And that's not to say you couldn't online source either. But again, these are choices you as the person, business owner, have to make, what you really want to do. But I do agree with you. If you have a choice to do Amazon over eBay. It's just a lot easier. You can get up more units usually, and there's an argument for cross-listing, just blast it and goes everywhere, right? I just think the workflow day-to-day is a lot easier on Amazon than eBay, just because your output's so much better. You may struggle getting the inbound, but your outbound should be significantly higher once you've mastered that. Circling back to summer slowdown, if you're an eBay only seller, first year, I'll give you a pass. You have no data. You're collecting data. Year two, you're seeing if that first year's data is backed up. Year three, you should have no fucking excuse to not know something's happening. Like, if it's slow in summer in year one or two, you know on year three, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be slow that summer too. I'm sorry. Year three sellers, you have no excuse. If you're on one or two, I'll give you a slight pass, especially if you're on year one. Year two, you should kind of be squinting at it. Let's see if this is true again. But you should prepare for it, especially if you're a year two seller. You year three guys, get your shit together.
I swear to you, I was just going to say basically exactly what you said. So, right, the first year, you got no data. Second year, all right, it happened again. Now you're going to prepare for it the next year, which I'll tell you right now, Deb, she's got her own brand, Sound Count Dog Toys. Summer is time to prepare for quarter four because it's a little bit slower, but there's still things going on. Now, if we know that in the summer, our sales are down 30%.
Yeah.
Is the argument to be made, if you just listed 30% more items, then you would not have a slowdown because the math would math out evenly?
I don't think that works that way. I think, because not everything we list is going to sell ultimately, if we're talking about strictly eBay. I think it would need to be more to balance it out. I think you'd have to go beyond a 30 for 30 kind of deal. Alternatively, again, add something that sells better in the slower months of your season, or keep the status quo and just, okay, I know the next 2 months are going to be down, but I've made more in the earlier part of the year to compensate for that, and we're playing the average
game. You can't, dude. People don't play the average game, Johnny. They have three bad days of sales in a row, and that's it. There ain't no law of averages where we look at the overall picture.
Well, they should. I'm sorry. They really should. But yes.
It's never going to happen, man.
Okay. And in land where we're not dealing with smart people, fine. We'll rule that one out. So, yeah, I would sell something different, or I would vastly increase your listing goal, and or maybe explore other platforms that you list on to have a more even keel of, okay, I list 30. But now I'm not listing just on eBay. I'm listing on Mercari. I'm listing on Poshmark. Hi, Rachel. I'm listing on Walmart. All these other places you have access to list the same item. It's a little bit more work, and there's some technology, and there's some overhead. But if you're wanting to increase your sell-through rate during the slower months, I think that's a good play.
I think it is a trap, though, because like you're saying, cross-list. You might go down a rabbit hole because you're not getting the results because there's less people shopping because you're selling the same items. You're doing the same exact thing. You're not really making no increases in productivity or listings. Maybe you try something that just isn't never going to work for your business. And then you start losing the foundation you had of your business, mm-hmm. even though it's slowed down. Right. So I'll give an example. If I was just in this situation, just make one up real quick. My sales are down on eBay. I sell books. I decide, you know, the hot new fire thing is, you know, selling live, right? Whether that's eBay Live, whatnot. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden you start investing all this time into this other business venture and you start taking away time from your main business and you're just pumping wasted hours into this other idea because of the quote unquote slowdown that we have because we can't see past the summer slowdown. We can't see that. In January through March, we made enough money to cover, you know, April through July.
I'm all for experimentation and finding out things, but I agree with you. I don't think you should bank on this thing is going to save the day, because you don't know. Because again, you don't have the data to prove this just yet. I do think this though, when it's slower, you should be ramping up. Maybe you're buying, honestly. Like you know, maybe you'll find if you ramp up your buying, maybe you could get higher quality items in more abundance, and those can go in your pipeline during these critical months of lower sales. Like, oh, I got instead of five banger items, I've a week now I'm getting 10 and putting those up because it's generally going to have a longer sell through anyway. But if you list more of those higher quality, higher end items, you'll in theory, you will sell more of those, and thus that 30% loss that we mentioned earlier may be only 1% loss or a net 2% gain if you increase your buying. Now, I'm not saying increase the buying where it's a detriment, where you're now having a death pile. Don't do that. But if you have your systems in place and you have a queue set up, if you increase the queue, if you're capable of increasing the queue because of space limitations and just your systems are good enough to do that, that might be a good play or an option for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, summer is when all the garage sales happen, all the flea markets happen all summer long. But it gets me back to the thing, Johnny, is that resellers, we have the highest margins and the lowest bank accounts. So if there's a summer slowdown, Johnny, I don't got no money coming into the bank account, bro. Like, I can't go to the flea market because I don't got $20 I can spend.
Well, if your margins are that slim, you should have adjusted your business before summer, my friend. But let's just say you didn't and you're here now. Fine. We'll play with these kind of people we're talking about. There are other options to get free inventory. You'll trade time to get free inventory, but there's Craigslist, there's Facebook, there's Freebie Alert app, and there's Nextdoor. There's a lot of them. Will you get everyday value items? Probably. You're gonna need a lot of junk too. Are you gonna get some bangers maybe every now and then? But more importantly, you might need a source doing that, a repeatable source. That to me versus the stuff, the mediocre stuff, is invaluable. Because you if you can grow that source to give you more better than everyday value, that is worth your time investment, in my opinion.
We need better wording than summer slowdown. We need like a productive term for summer because it's always negative. I mean, we've been doing this for years and years, and every summer it's the same song and dance, and I just say it wears me out because summer's never really a slowdown for me. And
Let
I
me
don't know.
ask you this, or I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
No, I'm done.
So the people who are saying it the loudest, I think, is from the YouTube community. And of the said YouTube community that focuses on reselling, is, in your opinion, is the abundance of them clothing sellers?
No, it's mostly everything sellers.
Everything sellers. Okay. So why would the everything seller, they're in multiple categories from the get-go. Why are they struggling the most? I don't
Because
have an
some of the, no, I got the answer. Because some of the, if you're buying everything, some of those, like, you're going to buy the skis to sell in the summer, right? You're going to buy, anything that you think you can make a buck on. But I
So
still,
it's not steady sales consistently because you're the everything seller from skis to sombreros to kazoos. Okay.
I mean, it also exists in the media world on YouTube's world, or as
But
well.
if you're again, if you're an everything seller, you should know what categories sell when. If
Yeah,
you are
but you can't focus on that, dude. If you're an everything seller, you accept the fact you walk into a place, you're looking at everything. As much as you sit here and say, just focus on the stuff that's here and now, we can't do that. That doesn't exist. You're talking this whole call, you're talking next level things, even though they're really not next level. We got to treat it like we're holding somebody's hand and walking them through
okay.
this. Like,
You're right. Okay.
you're right with everything you say, but your average everyday reseller that the summer slowdown exists for isn't ever going to do the things you recommend. Like, if you're an everything seller, well, maybe you're an every season seller, and whatever's in this season, I'll buy
What I'm
golf
saying. That's
clubs in
how
the
I would
summer.
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a better way to word it. You're not going to try to sell the sleds in the summer. You're not going to, sell the pool floaties in the winter. But that's the idea we have is, well, I can sell anything online. I can flip anything on eBay. And then you go and you list all the stuff that's way out of season. You're not going to sell, sweatpants in Texas when it's 150 degrees outside. Like, let's get real with ourselves.
I still think the answer is expanding your sourcing
Oh,
somehow,
yeah.
some way, or trading your sources. Let's say you have this bad source just because it's local to you. Let's trade that bad source for a better or much better, or this is the best thing I've ever done with my business kind of source. If we're just staying in the same pond and we're never going outside of our little lake area, I think that's a disservice to our business. I've gone to both sides of the country now to source, and one of them ended up repeatable. One was a one-time thing. You don't have to go to those extremes, of course, but let's just say, okay, my bubble is maybe a 30-minute radius. Maybe we expand to a 45-minute radius. That doesn't necessarily include driving. That could be marketplace. That could be stuff that delivers. It could be auctions. It could be estate sales. It could be garage. All these things we talk about. There's more of it outside of your little bubbles, what I'm getting at. And then if you can get that repeating and recurring and or ship to you kind of scenario, I think that's the ultimate win.
I'll say right now, you kind of hit it on the head. We have had more people over in the group that sell media on Amazon and eBay secure more relationships that are going to 10x their business over the next 3 months. And since the start of summer, because that's when me and you kind of started pushing, getting out there, building these relationships, than we ever have had since we've started the group. So literally from the beginning of summer to now, more people have secured more larger, better relationships that will go on and on and on during this summer season, and people are sending in more inventory. I mean, think about this, dude. We had Tatiana, part-timer. She bought a dump truck full of CDs. And when we say dump truck, she literally had a dump truck, drove to get the CDs, and filled up the back of the dump truck, right? This is somebody that's part-time. All she did was figure out what worked best for her business, which is not going out to sources. She's sourcing online, Facebook Marketplace, all throughout. And she literally found 3 months of inventory from one post.
Right, like me, I don't spend a great time going out these days. I have things come to me, or I have my back stock of stuff I'm going through, my queue pile, more or less. And I think that is a game changer. So if figuring that, if I was the bins guy, or if I had a thrift store route, that's a tough racket. I mean, I know I'm exchanging processing time for sourcing time, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but there are other opportunities out there, and I think exploring them all, at least for the first time, please do that, because we're speaking to the person we got to handhold, right? Explore outside of your bubble. Maybe it's a different kind of sourcing that you, if you've never gone to the flea market, maybe you make an attempt to go to the flea market to figure out things, or you've never done an estate sale or an auction, either online or live. Maybe try that. See what's up, because you don't know until you go.
Maybe you use summer just to get better sources and go upstream. Maybe it's like summer upstream. I don't even know. I got no good basically acronym for that. But I do think this idea of getting the inventory from the actual person that bought it initially, the quality is going to be better. The price is going to be better because you usually can get it for less than when it winds up at the thrift store. That should be on the forefront of everybody's mind. I don't care if you're thrifting, I don't care if you're doing bulk. You'll be there one day when you eventually run out of inventory that you have. You're going to be going upstream. I'm sure you probably, the only time you're going to set foot in a thrift store is if you go to a little mom and pop shop and you walk in and say, I got a $100 bill, I'll take everything off your hands. That's going to be the extent of it. But in the reselling community, it's people that just thrift. They just rely on the thrift stores. And I challenge everybody to, all right, how does this stuff get to the thrift store? Like, let's start backtracking the process of from when that item was actually bought by the consumer to winding up in the thrift store. Cut out the thrift store. You become the person that gets the stuff. And I don't care what category this is. People say, oh, well, you sell media, so everybody's got books, CDs. Well, everybody's got used clothing. Have you ever just been like, hey, forget taking your stuff to Plato's Closet or the Goodwill? I'll come pay you X amount for the clothing you have. I'll pay you more than Plato's Closet's going to pay you. I think it exists in every category, honestly.
Yeah, if you're the guy who will go to somebody's home to get the stuff instead of them having to leave their home to get rid of it, and if you couple that with you'll pay more, like for your Plato Closet example, you win. You got a whole lot of work ahead of you, but you've won. You've won.
That's it, dude. And I know you kind of wanted to have this topic around doing work
Yeah.
because you work, in the warehouse every day of the week. I do think it does come with work, right?
Yeah.
So in our game, we secure a relationship. This past week I went to a new library that I reached out to, and they're going to work with me. It is a lot of work, 535 pounds of books. I got to load into the Lamborghini. I got to drive it to the storage unit, unload the Lamborghini, scan everything in the 150 degree heat. It's a lot of work. But I mean, if you want this business to go sooner or later, and I don't work hard, right? I don't sit here and tell anybody I'm the hardest reseller when it comes to work. I'm like, I want to do less and make more. But there are times when you're building these relationships, and if you want to get the best quality stuff, you're going to have to bust your ass.
No doubt about it. Johnny, why do you work so hard so I can have more opportunities and speed up my business? That's the thing. I want to make my business go as fast as possible without making mistakes or tripping up along the way, which is a detriment to the business. I want to make it go. And the only real hack that I've been able to find is I just work longer or I get up earlier. In my case, I do both. Now, just the general thing of work, it's, in my opinion, it's a lot easier to go out to a thrift store versus driving 2 hours to pick up 3,000 items, load it up, and then when you get back, unload it. And then if you still got an ounce of energy left in you after all that, start processing it. I'm not saying that people that do the thrift store route, they don't work either. There are people who have massive routes that kind of do what I'm saying. They're just having to go add all of what I'm calling bulk up. They're creating their own bulk by having a route of different locations. And that's a way to do it, absolutely. I don't think people realize that. They see some YouTube videos or haul videos or let's go thrift with me or let's go to the flea today videos. And then they see the pick out a few things, call out what's cool, go to the back of the car, or have it laid out at their garage or whatever, their storage unit. And that's all you see. You don't see the, okay, does this need to be washed? Or does this need a wipe down? Or does this, here, let's have 20 minutes of me unloading my vehicle. You don't see that because nobody cares. Nobody wants to see that. It doesn't make interesting content. So that illusion, once you actually start, is blown away your first time you do it. And then maybe you don't want to do it anymore. And nothing wrong with that, but now you know there's work involved if you've experienced that yourself listening.
In the media world, there's lots of work, lots of lifting, lots of moving, thousands and thousands of pieces, right? If we think about if you're going to scan media, you're looking at like a 10% accept rate. So every 10,000 items you scan, you technically are only going to get 1,000 that you can possibly send in or sell. So you start compounding that, especially in books where, your book's almost a pound on average. It is a lot of work. And what Johnny said, I usually get my bulk buy, take it back to the storage unit, and I process it right then and there. So I don't play the game of, well, I'm going to let it sit. I do think there is something to be said for that if you're part-time. But if you're full-time, just get it done right away. And it's work gets you to the point where then you start falling into excuses. And we all, listen, we're all not going to be like gung-ho about everything we do every day, right? That's just nobody's ever like that. You're going to have days where you don't feel like doing nothing and you're beat up. You don't want to deal with reselling. That's A-okay. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, it's got to get done. Like, if you want to make money, you got to do work. I know it's spun out there like, hey, I tell all you that I don't do this between 20 and 30 hours a week. That's not the reality for the first three years of your business, right? Like, you. They don't see, when I started back in 2018 to where I am today, like how many thrift stores I've been in, how many conversations I had, understanding my sources, tracking my sources, building new relationships. So you are right that it is misconstrued big time when it comes to YouTube because nobody wants to see me unloading the Ultima, right? Like no one's gonna
Even
click
if you
through that.
sped that up, it still would not give a full picture of the physical labor-cality of everything.
Yeah, you couldn't because then I have to put like what sold, like you know, screenshots on top of it, right? Nobody's just going to want to see me unloading boxes and boxes. But that's the reality of this business. And you can get it to a point where you're not always like 60-hour weeks in reselling, but that's going to take time and processes. And summer, don't let it be an excuse for you to slack off because there's less people shopping online. I do agree there's less people shopping online in the summer. Everybody does. Why do you think Amazon Prime Day is coming up in like 3 days, right? Amazon does it in the summer because it's slower for them. So it's a nice boost to their bottom line in the middle of the summer. We agree with this, but use this to your advantage. Keep your business where you're doing. If you want to try something else, maybe this is the time to try something else to see if you get results. But don't let your main part of your business, your main squeeze, just kind of wither away because it's summertime.
Right. And if you're a full-time person and you know your slow times in summer, maybe that's a good time to bring on that staff member you've been thinking about hiring to help with the upcoming months that are going to be more critical to your business where you make more money. Or even a part-timer or some guy comes in once a week to, I don't know, do your packaging for you for a day where you have extra hours that you can allocate elsewhere to your business. Another thing on summer slowdown, talk to your peers and see if it's happening with them. And if the answer is no, you've done something wrong. Yes, I've said it. Especially
don't ask me because I already gave my answer. Ain't nothing slowing down over here, Chief.
Yeah, I'm not having any issues on Amazon either. But if you, especially if you're selling the same things, like what are they doing right that I am doing wrong? Or what are they doing more of that I could do more of? If you don't ever answer those questions, especially when you know they're performing better for you and you can't figure out the reason, go ask them. Honestly, resellers are pretty open unless they specifically say, I don't talk about my business, then leave them alone, of course. But if you ask your peers, they're more inclined to help you as long as they don't perceive you as a threat if you try to take them out for whatever reason.
That's so true. We talk about it all the time, like being in groups where like-minded people are around each other. And it's kind of, I mean, it's tough. Do I say summer slowdown is negative when it comes to the connotations around it? Yes, in general, but I do think it is a building block opportunity for resellers, no matter what platform you sell on, to figure out what works in a summer, right? If every summer we know that XYZ is going to happen, why don't we have some kind of plan to counteract XYZ? It's just like, well, here we go again. I step in the same pile of crap every single year, and we just wind up. I mean, I get it. For YouTube, it's good content because negativity and reselling is going to push the views on social media more than it is like me and you talking about July being our greatest month. Like, nobody cares about that. If it was July was our worst month ever, like, okay, then everybody's like, forget it, screw this. Like, I get that side of it being a part of the YouTube world and social media world, but that's not a real reflection of what's going on in everybody's business behind the scenes. Like, that's just to get views, to grow a brand, to make money on YouTube, right? That's just the reality of it.
Right. I mean, getting people together in a room who've been slighted, they'll have a lot to say. Get people in a room that everything's going A-okay, they'll have very little to say.
Dude, we have, how many of our last guests are doing six figures on eBay and not a single one of them ever complained about the platform not working for them? Every single person we have had on that sells on eBay is like, yeah, it's working. Here's how it works. No excuses. Do the work. It's amazing to me. And I'm like, oh my God, an eBay seller that's like out here crushing it, not complaining about the platform. That's because these people, they stay focused on their business. They don't have the YouTube channel. They're not looking to get the clicks, the views, the likes, the subscribers. So they just do their damn thing and they crush it. Like, it's crazy to me.
Right. I mean, they're consistent. All they're doing is they're maybe doing more work than the next year or this year than they did the previous year. They have a formula that works and they don't really deviate from that formula until it doesn't work. And then they've missed something and then they readjust their business and they do it again and have a new formula and they just continue to grow, grow and grow.
I think that's the issue. I think I figured it out, Johnny. In the beginning of this call, I said, I don't know, like, I've never been a full-time seller on eBay during summer, right? To be like, oh, summer slowdown is like a thing. But the people we have on and the people that have been on the podcast, I see their results, right? Like I hear their story, I hear exactly what they're doing. So it just solidifies it more that the summer slowdown is basically bull crap at the end of the day, because I just got, they're sitting right here. He or she's sitting right here telling me that they're doing X amount of dollars per month. It's summertime and they're absolutely knocking it out of the park. So I'm like, well, listen, I'm not just making this up. Here's proof of it. So I can't even.
Maybe earlier on in the career, they had a summer slowdown issue, but they course corrected to not have it the following year, exactly like we're talking about, because, oh, it's going to happen again.
So I guess it brings me back to are they, anomalies? I don't think they are. I think they understand the
A lot of
platform they.
anomalies.
Yeah, it's too many coincidences to be a coincidence, right? That's kind of how we start looking at it when we start piecing this case together. So that's why I had this mindset that there is no summer slowdown, because we have eBay sellers on here at least once a month that are absolutely crushing it. Don't matter if it's summer, winter, some made up season, Y2K, 2012, the comments coming, no matter what it is, like they get the results. So when I see it out there, I'm like, this is just BS. And then all the comments are everybody complaining that summer slowdown is they haven't gotten the sale in 25 days. Well, Johnny said it earlier, if you sold, if you started flipping iPhones for 20% margins, 10% margins, like, I mean, I listed something on eBay for $220 the other day. Deb's getting rid of one of her electronics. My only listing on eBay, I haven't listed on eBay in weeks. I got an offer yesterday for $200 flat. Took it. It's a desirable item. It's a desirable
You
that quick.
sold? Wait. Hold up. Hold the phone. This is groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
You sold something somebody wanted.
It's amazing. It is amazing. I need to see what the sell-through rate is for this item. I don't know if I still have it here. No, I don't. I'll look it up as you ramble on. But yeah, I literally, my only listing in weeks, sold within 2 days of it being up on eBay for almost full price. I priced it at
So
220.
your traffic is throttled. Everything bad could happen because of your bad listing habits on eBay. You listed one item and sold it within 2 days because it was that desirable.
I'm not even top sell, or what is it, top rated, whatever the
Yeah,
hell it's
top
called.
rating.
I lost that, dude. I'm
Yeah,
like.
you went down. So you eBay's doing this to you, but you do this to eBay because you listed a desirable item. Good for you.
All right, so there's 55 listed and 185 sold.
Yeah, 100, geez. Okay. Yeah.
I just cracked open the eBay code for everybody. Sell
Right.
items like that.
Sell items like that every day. Find items like that and list items like that every day, and you'll have no problems on eBay.
Even if you make less money, if you have your processes aligned, you can turn and burn through inventory. And that, the cash you make, even though it's only 10, 20%, especially in the Amazon world, some of these OA guys wish they could get 10% returns on what they're selling. Your bank account goes up. It just keeps going up, Johnny. All of a sudden, you're like, all right, I can get the Domino's large instead of the medium two topping.
Well, I think people want, and I'll describe what I'm doing. They want a vertical straight line upward when it's more of a gradual, wavy, curvy line going in an upward way, like on a line graph. If you're following along, for those just listening, you're not seeing what I'm doing with my hands right now. And I'm doing something obnoxious with my hands right now to hope you come watch the video. But anyway, yeah, I think people's expectations of it needs to be like a rocket ship, just straight up into space kind of success, where it's no, it's more we're going up the hill in our 1944 Ford pickup kind of deal. You're still going up. That's the point. As long as you're going up and never backwards in reverse, or the rocket explodes and everybody dies.
Yeah, it's tough. I understand, we have ups and downs in our business. What it shouldn't be, every year we have this expectation that it's just going to be dreadful and you're not doing nothing to counteract that, right? So, like,
Right, like even me, my in my paperback game, I was going up. But it wasn't enough incline for me. And I decided to swing into something that had a more vertical incline, which was Amazon. I think that was the right play for me, but it's not like it wasn't working. It was working just very slowly. Very, very slowly. But I truly think people just need to do some research too, because you took a quick minute just to look at the sell-through rate. If you did that before you bought, or even better, if you did this at home, you just spent like a month researching. Let's say you're a day one reseller. So if you spent the first 30 days, like the first 100 days in office, right? Since it's election year. So your first 100 days, not 30, we're going to go with 100. 100 days just in pure research, writing down, exploring every category, the best items that there's less items listed, but more items sell. You had a list, curated list like that, a BOLO list for yourself. I think day one, you actually went out to source and list it. You are going to be a phenomenal eBay seller.
You figure out what the quality items are, right? Like, for example, in the book world, my Easton Press or whatever, like I've only found one of these things in a while. Right? So you know, anytime you see Easton Press, it's guaranteed to sell. Well, your next step is, where can you find Easton Presses that are for sale, right? It's always going to the next level. You figure out what's good, you figure out where to get the good stuff. And I hate to break it to you, thrift store usually ain't it. I mean, we can get away in the media world because there's lots of it out there, but you're rarely going to find an Easton Press in a thrift store, right? It's going to be somebody's collection. It's going to be a bookstore. You're going to have to pay up for this item, but you still can make money faster because there's a desire for the item.
Right, I'm gonna give you a lower margin item that has the same thing as Easton Press. And we're gonna go with author here. If you just source this one author, follow everybody. I'm gonna shock you. Stephen King, I guarantee you, you're going to sell everything you have of Stephen King. You may only get five here and there, eight here, 10 there. But if you just accumulate that stuff and you're now the Stephen King eBay seller, whether it's books, audiobooks, graphic novels, hell, even a t-shirt with the dude's name on it, you're gonna be A-okay.
I thought about doing this for Halloween. I could just be the Michael Myers seller, right? I just sell everything and anything that's related to Halloween. And I got a kind of analogy. I just thought of this on the top of my head. Don't ask what goes on in my head that I come up with these, right? So Johnny says you're going to take a dollar someday, some days you're going to get $3, $4, $5. Just imagine every time, you cool eBay sellers get your little cha-ching. I ain't gonna lie, Johnny. I do miss your cha-chings during the podcast, right? Like those were the good old days. We had like fake sound effects of Johnny getting fake sales.
It doesn't
Just
ka-ching like it used to.
imagine every time you got that cha-ching, somebody slaps you with a $5 bill, right? Like somebody, you just get slapped with a $5 bill. all of a sudden, you're getting slapped 20 times a day. You got an extra $100. Things are looking up. I'm like, all right. Here we go. We're rocking and rolling. Desirability, I guess. I don't know, man. This is kind of a controversial take in the media world because people love selling long tail items. I do too, but I do think selling something that's going to sell today and making a dollar is better than waiting a year to make $100 because if you do the compound interest and anybody that's invested in any kind of retirement plan, your dollar turns into two, your two turns into four because you're buying the same items that are going to sell within the day that you're going to make $1 on. Easily, that $100 you might make in a year, the 365 days, your money will be, you'll be rich, you'll be retired.
Right. So I think there are. I agree with what you just said. There are like three trains on the ground, right? The model you just described, the dollar guy is gonna sell his like every day or every minute. He's gonna start off really fast. And then we have a person kind of doing long tail and what the first guy was doing. His train's not going as fast. But eventually I think he'll outpace the dollar guy given enough time. And then we have our third train. Its engine hasn't even started. He's the long tail, only lists $10,000 books. And the other people have already finished the race. And This guy, the last train, has just started when the other two have finished. Those are the business models you can do.
What's a good sell-through, like, overall sell-through rate for eBay? Like, 90 days, like, what's the percentage? Because as media sellers on Amazon, we shoot for, like, 20% of our inventory every single month. Like, what's the correlation on eBay, if you know? Or, like, I don't know, because you're over in text group, so that's, like, the eBay mecca.
I mean, it's going to be different per business, per category, but a 90-day sell-through rate is a good target.
So, like, everything you list sells within 90 days? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, with maybe like a 2% margin of error, I suppose, because you're going to have some anomalies in there that just ain't going to sell for whatever reason. Either you did something wrong on the human error side, or for whatever reason, in the conga line of who's going to sell what, you just got shuffled weirdly kind of deal. So let's say it sells 100 times, there are 50 people listed. While it's cycling through those 50 people, a new batch of people are coming in listing that same item. And for whatever reason, you didn't get in the shuffle. That's why quality listing, you want to be ranked higher. So in that shuffle game, you sell your item.
That's pretty crazy, to the idea that you sell everything you list within 90 days. Like, I mean, you got to find some desirable stuff. I mean, I know people out there, the majority of stuff they're buying to resell on eBay doesn't have a 90-day sell-through.
Right. It's hard to do. And then again, especially in the clothing game, you got those trends and it falls out of trend. So it was a desirable item for 4 months, but on month five rolls around, we're starting to see it sell less. So your 90-day item may become 120 or 180-day item, unfortunately. And that's why there's a margin of errors there. I give a lot of credit to the clothing guys, even though I rarely talk about them. They got so much more to think about than I do as a media seller, honestly, because they got seasonality, they got trend, they got fashion. There's some similarities, like brands are like publishers to me. Also, I can feel book quality, just like they can feel a clothing quality kind of deal, which is neat to think about how similar, but also different. I think they have more variables to account for, honestly. And then everybody I know, at least in text groups, pretty much a clothing seller. So it's competition, right? Are they all selling the same thing? They're all getting the same kind of information? No, some of them are doing this, that, and the other, and others are doing that. And other people like me are doing different categories entirely. But the people that are doing the exact same thing, they're doing okay, I suppose. And they're interesting to watch on their market spaces. I don't know what else to say on that. It's just,
I'm going
to
join and I'm going to join the clothing sellers, but I'm only going to sell one sock.
You're going to be the solo sock guy.
Solo sock guy. And I'm just going to show up. Maybe that'll be my username. And I'm just going to type in there, hey, I just started this solo sock selling business. And I want to see what kind of business advice I get from tech and everybody else in there. Right? Like,
please do this. Please, you're going to get crucified. This is a good group.
What do you mean, dude? Nobody's ever done it. And I say all the time, if nobody's done it, then it's probably something you should do. I mean, there's probably a market out there for it.
No, I've heard of people doing, not socks, I've heard them doing shoes like that, because they'll sell to people who have lost a leg for reasons, or born with just one leg kind of deal. So it makes sense why they have a right shoe listing and a left shoe listing. But socks, That's going to be a hard battle for you, man. I mean, bravo to you if you make it work. Like, tech, I want 100% sell-through rate as the solo sock guy. I want to see how that plays out.
That's next time you're on a call with him, and, you know, just throw it out there. Hey, I'm thinking about starting this new business, and I'm sure he'll give you – I think there are solutions for everybody's business, no matter what you sell, no matter what platform you sell. You just got to get smarter, get better at your processes, find the better quality inventory. I say it all the time. It's out there. You just got to go upstream. More upstream you go, the better the stuff's going to be. You usually pay a lot less. And even if you pay more, it's more desirable stuff that you actually know you can sell in a whole lot less time. The quicker you sell things, the quicker the money comes back to you. You can redeploy it, actually buy yourself Domino's Pizza when you want to buy yourself Domino's Pizza, and grow your business in that manner. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. Appreciate y'all listening and watching over on the YouTube, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.